All right, why don't we begin? Good evening, everyone. Thank you for joining us as we continue this series termed Shabbat in the City, dealing with modern phenomena, modern technology, and how posts can deal with it, particularly in a cosmopolitan setting. And the topic I want to cover today is certainly a hot topic. People certainly have a lot of to say about it. It's the topic of elevators, riding an elevator on Shabbos. And because this topic is very complex and very much re relevant to people who are living in Manhattan, people who live in apartment buildings with, tall floors and elevators are certainly something which comes up a lot every Shabbos. It's worthwhile to really spend time to really get through the nitty-gritty of the topic. And for that reason, I really want to do this topic justice and really give two different shiurim on this topic. And I'm going to split up the following way. The first topic, the topic I'm going to begin with for the first shiur, is discussing elevators as a whole, kind of in an abstract. Talking about, imagine you had an automatic elevator, kind of like a Shabbos elevator, and dealing with the issues that deal with the Shabbos elevator or an automatic elevator that do not require you to press any buttons, right? Talking about the elevator kind of in itself. The next topic, the next week, I want to talk about the more complicated issue, which is very much relevant to us as well, which is the issue of riding an elevator that's being pressed or being operated by a non-Jewish worker on your behalf, someone doing it for you or riding with a non-Jew while they're in the elevator. All right, so I want to deal with that separately. But for today, I want to just deal with and focus on the first issue, which is focusing on the elevator itself. Is there a problem of riding an elevator, an automatic elevator, an elevator that does not require any buttons being pressed, right? A Shabbos elevator, as they're sometimes termed. Is there an issue riding these types of elevators? So that's the issue I want to cover. As always, feel free to leave your videos on. Always appreciate seeing faces. Feel free to have any comments or questions at any point. Feel free to interrupt me. So I'm going to share my screen now, and we're gonna as we go through some of these topics. So there you go. All right. Riding an elevator on Shabbat. So the main time where well, elevators, the very basic history of elevators is that they became very prominent in the early 1900s. You can imagine it's around the same time in Manhattan, actually. That's where a lot of the elevators really, a lot of the inventions came to be because, as you can imagine, Manhattan really was one of the first places where skyscrapers were really built, where there are really these really tall, imposing buildings and need to have elevators created. But for the most part, there weren't really anything called automatic elevators. This Shabbos elevator, it wasn't really an invention that people thought about until really the 1960s. And all of a sudden in the 1960s, you have a number of tshuvot coming out that describe and depict the issue of an automatic elevator. Is there a problem of an automatic elevator? And so there are a number of tshuvot that come out, and I want to kind of deal with these tshuvot and focus on the issues that they raise, potential problems of one automatic elevator, an elevator which does not require pressing any buttons, what potential issues there may be with those, and kind of the response to those particular issues. So there are three issues that the posting deal with and they bring up. The first one, the first psak, written in 1961 by Minchat Yitzchak is Dayan Weiss, a very someone who writes, who is a very important figure. Actually, I think he's writing in from Manchester at the time, and he's someone who is a very prominent member of Eda Haredes, a lot of tshuvos relating to new technology. And so he writes in 1961 the following. He has a whole long tshuva about it, but the main gist of his argument comes down to the following one line. V'hineh, mitam acharon hanir la'el, nira la'esor. The reason I want to prohibit riding in an automatic electric elevator, af be'ofen sh'amalit holechet kol hayom b'li heref, even if the elevator works without any manual assistance, it doesn't require anybody press any buttons, nonetheless, mikol makom, betosefet masa, the main issue with an automatic elevator is that if someone enters the elevator, what is going to happen? The elevator now weighs more. And because there is an added weight, because you're a person entering the elevator, that bodily presence adds mass, adds weight to the elevator. Therefore, the elevator, the motor has to compensate and has to have additional current. And that additional current, the need for additional electricity, is itself a problem. It is a malacha, and therefore it's going to be prohibited. A second reason. So that's problem one. Problem one is there is the prohibition of additional current. Your weight is going to cause the elevator to do more work. The second problem, as well, od yesh ladun mishum zilutah de shabbat v'yantov. There's another problem of what's generally termed as disrespecting the Shabbos. That riding an elevator is some type of disrespect. It's not what we should do on Shabbos. We've covered similar issues like of disrespect and uvdin dechol before, and here's another explanation of the same type of issue of uvdin dechol, of this disrespect of Shabbos. And it's almost spelled out a little bit. It's a little bit different from this next point, but it's spelled out pretty clearly what this refers to. Actually, in the next tshuva that I want to quote from the Chelket Yaakov, Rav Mordechai Breisch, he lived around the same time period. He also writes a tshuva in the 1960s. He also has an interesting background to him. He grew up in Poland, and during the Holocaust, he escaped to Switzerland. And so he's writing his tshuva from Switzerland. And I actually make reference to Switzerland because he's going to make reference to living in Switzerland in a second during the tshuva itself. Because as he addresses the issue of riding in an elevator, he makes the following point. V'halacha zo nikabla b'chol tfutzot Yisrael, the asur linsoa berakevet chashmelit b'shabat v'yontov. He brings up as proof, how do I know that it is prohibited to ride in an elevator? So what I'm going to do is I'm going to find an example, a proof from something similar, right? And we saw that, you know, many of these posts came in trying to figure out a solution. How do I deal with this modern phenomena? So a lot of them try coming up with, you know, old topics, old examples, things from which they can use as paradigms to move forward and analyze new issues. And so the paradigm that the Chelket Yaakov wants to deal with, he says, I can't find maybe a proof from the Gemara, from the Talmud, but I can find a paradigm from something which arose in the previous century. And that's something we actually covered in previous weeks, the topic of subways and trains and, you know, electric trains. And he says that the practice has become that we are not allowed to ride electric trains on Shabbos. And therefore, he says, im kem minin didan nami kem. Therefore, our situation is similar. The cave and the kvar kiblo aleim leesor hanisia berakevet chashmalit asur lamitam neder. Since there has become this accepted practice that we do not ride trains on Shabbos, im kain malan im nosea bekaron chashmali leorech or lerochav. What difference does it make if you ride a train and the train is moving horizontally, as trains typically do, or if the train rides vertically? And effectively, he argues, what is an elevator but a vertically moving train? That's what an elevator is. And therefore, if trains are prohibited, then so too an elevator is prohibited. And he keeps going, expanding on the same argument. Nisia bekaron chashmali nesarlan, beizatam shiyeh, whatever reason that you're going to have for an electric train for being prohibited, and we covered that in the first series, for all those particular reasons, memela ein chiluk ein nosei leorech lerochav lemalo lemata, it should make no difference whether or not you ride your train up or down or sideways, you know, sideways. It's a little bit of like a Willy Wonka type of argument that it doesn't make a difference. You know, an elevator could go slantways and up, down, and to the right, to the left. It doesn't make a difference to the elevator regardless. Hagei b'asmecha, he says that the proof to this, ha'im yale al dat le'atir l'insoa b'kron chashmali b'shabat yom tov le'mal al-ahar. He says proof to this is the fact that there are certain places in which there are trains that ride up a mountain. Right, you can take what's called, you know, electric trains that go up a mountain. It doesn't go across horizontally, but it goes up a mountain. He gives an example where that's true. Yesh kama b'mikomos gelu b'mdinot Schweiz. There's a number of these cable cars, as they're often called in English, that run in Switzerland and in Haifa. Also, there's a kevet kazov and a kret carmelit. There's this type of electric train that goes up the mountain of Har Carmel in Haifa. Imkain malan lalot bahar or lagova abayit. What difference does it make whether you ride this train that goes up a mountain or if you ride this train that goes up a house? Regardless, it should be prohibited. There's the same type of problem of riding an electric train. And just as there is a prohibition to ride an electric train, so too there's going to be a prohibition to ride an elevator. Now, we discussed in the past, you know, where this prohibition for riding a train comes from. And we discussed, you know, the prohibition, it's not entirely clear where that should come from. It's not, you know, it's a little hesitant where it should come. And the main argument at the end of the day, we said, was it's primarily going to be based upon this problem of Ovdin Dechol, that this is an action that's just not appropriate for the regular day of the week, for the Shabbos. It kind of looks like weekday activity, and therefore you should avoid doing so on Shabbos. And so in effect, the Chelket Yaakov is making a similar type of argument that an elevator, like a train, is inappropriate activity on Shabbos. It's something which is done weekday purposes and not Shabbos activities. That's his argument. And in many ways, I think it fits well with what we argue with trains. And I think the two topics kind of fit together in terms of the analysis of the issues. Any questions so far? Yeah, I mean, for trains, the argument was not only about the fact that it was traveling to work. I think that was kind of the expansion we used for bikes. Part of the argument for trains was the fact that with the Chatam Sofer's language of its nav and nad, that you're like moving about, your body is swaying and back and forth as the train moves forward. And we talk a lot about, is that really true for all trains? You know, sometimes we compared it to boats, that boats are okay, but trains are bad. And we talked about it, but you're right that in some ways it's not really clear. You know, why is a train, why is an elevator, you know, really, it's certainly not work related in the same way that a train is. You know, trains for the most part are used as for commuting. You don't really use an elevator exclusively for commuting. I mean, it's true that, you know, the tallest buildings in Manhattan tend to be office buildings, but, you know, there are plenty of very tall apartment buildings as well. So elevators really are used for all purposes, not work related. So you're right that it's not the easiest argument to stomach. It really comes down to this issue of Ovden Dechol being this undefinable and, you know, hard to pin down, you know, quality that posts can use. And it's, you know, it's not always clear why this or if it really should apply in each scenario. But I agree with you that I'm not very comfortable with using Ovden Dechol in this context either. Yeah, Joe. Yeah, the same thing is true as well. We'll talk about that at the end for sure. I mean, I don't know if we'll cover it fully today, but absolutely. I think when we talk about elevators in a way that's even more relevant than subways or trains or trains or bikes or, you know, anything we talked about in the past, for sure when it comes to elevators, right? The use of an elevator is going to have a very significant effect on your Shabbos, particularly if you live in apartment buildings, as most of us do in Manhattan. It's gonna make a huge difference for your Shabbos. It'll obviously affect the elderly and the infirm and people who can't walk so well. And even if you can walk so well, it's certainly gonna make a big difference on your Shabbos. Absolutely. So those are the main arguments. Any other questions or comments? So those are really the two main arguments against using an elevator, an automatic elevator, right? One where we're not concerned about pushing any buttons. That's a separate issue we'll cover next week. But even if you have no need to push any buttons, nonetheless, it's still going to be prohibited according to the Chalkat Yaakov and according to Minchat Yitzchak, based on this concern of it being A, similar to a subway, similar to a train, such that there's going to be a problem of Ovden Dechol, of it being non-Shabbos-like activity. It's not what people do on Shabbos, as well as perhaps the most substantial argument that there is the problem of additional electrical current. Your weight in the elevator is going to force the motor to generate more energy, more electrical current, and therefore it's going to be problematic. And I'll add to this that sometimes the argument takes on a second force, which is not just only that the electric current itself might be the problem, that, you know, the particular elevator might need electric current, but also sometimes the way the argument is raised is that what happens when more electric current is required for a given task. So in order to create the electric current, you have to go back to the original source. And so more electric current therefore is needed to be created at the power generator. That's the real problem that's going to be created by this electric current. And so the real argument sometimes is the way you might hear this framed is that by, you know, using more electricity, I'm going to have to make the workers or the machines, whoever's, you know, controlling the electric, the power generators, to create more energy. They're going to have to, you know, burn more coal or burn more, you know, or create a larger fire or more steam. However, the power is being created at the generator, and that's going to be the issue at hand. So those are kind of the issues. One of Ovden Dechol, it's not Shabbistic, it's not what people do. And as well, the additional current is itself problematic, that your weight is causing this additional energy that's going to be needed to transport you up and down the elevator. Those are the main issues against. However, yeah. As I understand hydroelectric power, you're still need to change the controls in terms of, right, even hydroelectric power, like the very fact that you have to add more electricity is needed, you'd have to change the controls. There'd have to be some change, certainly, in the transformers. Yeah, you have to reduce something that has to be changed for sure, at least within the transformers. Some part of the, you know, the generator process would have to change. We can definitely go into details, some nitty gritty about how electricity is formed and different power generators compare nuclear power and, and solar power and coal power and, you know, all sorts of different powers, water power. But I don't really want to discuss it. Suffice to say that there might be a slight change being caused. Fine. That's kind of the main objections. However, at the same time that these truvos are written, there are a number of truvos written suggesting that really there should be no problem to ride an automatic elevator. So for instance, Rav Eliyahu Hinkin, the grandfather Hinkin, of Hinkin of Israel, the most famous Hinkin actually, he was a Rav Hinkin who lived in America. He actually preceded even Rav Moshe Feinstein. He was really the posek of like the Lower East Side before Rav Moshe Feinstein came, the posek really of like Lower Manhattan. And he actually has this tshuva written in 1964, towards the end of his life, where he talks about elevators, and he makes the following comment. He says, "Av shani nizhar mechadashot." He says, "Generally, I'm pretty wary of you know any new technology, any newfound inventions." And I'm worried about this about being known too often as being a mekel, and everyone knowing that I'm this person who always permits things. Nonetheless, a niro e bazet tam isor. When it comes to electric, automatic elevators, I see no prohibition, no reason for it to be prohibited. Deha paskinan kibet hilal bechoran manitin shabbat yozayin bechol davar shamlacha nasit aydei adam be'er shabbat ubeshabbat azam emela. There's a general rule that we follow that if you start a malacha on Friday afternoon, and you don't participate in that malacha on Shabbos. So, for instance, right, if I start my, I'm trying to think of a good example of where this comes up. I'm really blanking out on a good example. But any malacha where I start cooking something on Erev Shabbos. And it does, I leave my crock pot on, and most of the cooking is done. Even though it won't finish cooking until Shabbos actually begins, because I began the process of cooking on Erev Shabbos, on Friday afternoon, therefore it's going to be permitted to continue it on Shabbos. And so there are some exceptions to this. It's not a blanket rule, but that's the general rule that if you start work on Friday afternoon and you don't actually actively participate in it on Shabbos day, then it's going to be permitted. And he says, Kal v'chomer, you know, you can make a logical argument that this is definitely going to be true. If I do nothing on Shabbos itself, that is going to be permitted. And when I ride an automatic elevator, I am doing nothing in the process. I do not press any buttons. I have no active involvement with the elevator. There's nothing wrong with it. There should be no problem of me riding in this elevator. And he says, based on this heter, he says, "V'zeh yaviach rebach gadol." This new invention of an automatic elevator is going to bring a huge benefit to the yishuvim hayehudim. Im yitukan zeh shelo yistarchu livroach lemakom acherot kishiyedchatshu habinyanim hagvohim aydei shelton hayir. This is going to create this huge benefit for Jewish communities who live in areas where there's popping up these new tall buildings, and because if they didn't have these new inventions, because of these new tall buildings, they wouldn't be able to find apartments otherwise. Jews would have to move out of these communities. They'd have to move to other places, to the suburbs. And because of this new invention of a Shabbos elevator, they'd be able to stay in the cities. And as well, Otam Shisharu, Shelo Yafoch Lahem Oneg Shabbat Litzar. This too will prevent Shabbos from becoming this painful, you know, inconvenience, really uncomfortable Shabbos to now being, you know, much more pleasurable. It's going to allow people to enjoy their Shabbos much more. And indeed, it's true that, riding an elevator, if you live in a tall apartment building, has significant advantages to having to take the stairs. Your Shabbos is significantly, improved by the use of an automatic elevator. It's not just Rav Hinkin who permitted it, but as well, I can quote you a few others who permitted it. Rav Unterman is quoted in an article written in 1967. They write, and I quoted it from a translation. They said as follows: "I have personally witnessed great Torah sages entering an elevator and traveling to the floor for which a non-Jewish passenger pushed the button. They never raised the possibility of their added weight posing a halachic problem." He thinks there's no issue. He's seen plenty of people doing so, and even tells a story at some point in the article that at one point he was there for Shabbos when the Chafetz Chaim was meeting with other rabbinical figures and they were discussing some community matters. And when the Chafetz Chaim needed something to be brought to him, one of the rabbis in the group proceeded to ride the elevator along with a non-Jewish passenger to retrieve that item. And none of the rabbis present, including the Chafetz Chaim himself, objected to his riding the elevator. I'm not one to really quote Maaseh Rav. The stories of the Chafetz Chaim, it's not positive proof necessarily the Chafetz Chaim agreed to this behavior, but it certainly says something that the Chafetz Chaim didn't object. It certainly suggests that there wasn't this huge problem of riding an automatic elevator from Rav Unterman. Likewise, Rav Moshe Feinstein has a tshuva where within the tshuva itself, and we'll quote this actually next week, but within the tshuva, it's clear that Rav Moshe Feinstein thinks that assuming that no one presses any buttons for you, he actually thinks that a non-Jew pressing a button might be an issue, but if no one does press the button for you and it's an automatic elevator, it's clear from one of the Moshe's tshuvas that he also thinks that there's no problem of riding an automatic elevator. And so, in effect, you have kind of the big hitters in America. You have Rav Hinkin or Rav Moshe Feinstein, you have Rav Unterman quoting from a few other Gedolim, all of which are permitting you to ride in an automatic elevator. So what about the objections that were raised earlier? What about the problem of Uvdin Dechol? What about the problem of the electrical current? Right, how do we respond to those issues? So their main responses are as follows. With regard to the issue of Uvdin Dechol, that this action looks like it's a weekday action, that, like a train is prohibited, so likewise an elevator should be prohibited, the main response goes as follows, and this is quoted from Maliot B'Shabbat. I'll explain as we go on this year who this person is. I'll give it kind of its own introduction. But this book about elevators on Shabbos covers the issue and explains the difference and why it's not a problem of Uvdin Dechol. He says, "Nir lechalek bein achashmalit lemalit otomatit." You can make a very clear distinction between a train and an automatically running elevator. Shekein hachashmalit hufala b'shabbat ayde akum ve'ilu hamalit po'elet otomatit. Because difference number one, when it comes to a train has to be operated, right? No train works automatically entirely. There's always an operator, either a conductor, or at the very least somewhere along the line, there's like some person monitoring the train. There's always some non-Jewish worker who is operating the train. So there's already a difference in terms of the operation. And secondly, ve'od she'achashmalit po'elet b'shabbat bidyuk kimo b'yom cholef, b'yom chol, sorry, the typo there. Le'umat zo b'malit ha'otomatit yesh heker bolet b'pilotu b'shabbat ho'il v'yesh ba pikud miyuchar l'shabbat. Difference number two is that when it comes to a train on Shabbos works the exact same way it works every other day of the week, right? The MTA train, although the schedule might change, the actual operation of the train, of the subway, is exactly the same on Shabbos as it is on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Sunday. It's the exact same operation. When it comes, though, to a Shabbos elevator, right, an automatically operating elevator, then an automatic Shabbos elevator works very differently than a regular elevator. In fact, if you've ever been in, like, a Shabbos elevator with, like, a non-Jew who walks into the Shabbos elevator, they're very immediately confused, like, what is happening? Why is this elevator taking so long to move? Why is it stopping at every floor? Right? It's very clear and obvious, even to the non-Jews who don't know what Shabbos elevators are, that you're in a very different type of elevator. And so his argument is that you cannot call this Uvdin Dechol. The whole point of Uvdin Dechol is that your action resembles that of what you do during the week. And a Shabbos elevator in no way resembles that of the regular week. It looks very different. It's clearly a Shabbos elevator. Most elevators that are Shabbos elevators even have signs saying this is a Shabbos elevator. It works differently. You know, don't take this elevator if you want to move quickly and, you know, don't, and you aren't worried about keeping Shabbos. So there's surely no big problem of Uvdin Dechol for an automatic elevator, which I think is actually a very compelling argument to reject that type of issue. What about the perhaps the more serious issue, the issue of the additional current, the issue which was raised by the Minchat Yitzchak? So when it comes to raising current, the typical response by most poskim is that in truth there actually might not be any issue of raising current. That to raise an existing current, if a circuit is already created, and all you're doing is just adding more electricity, more current, more more voltage into the existing current, into the existing circuit. So according to most poskim, that's actually not a problem. And Ma'aliyot B'Shabbat, he quotes the same issue. I'll just explain it as we go forward. In general, when it comes to electricity, and this is a topic that's very large and it's worth many shurim on their own. But in general, when it comes to electricity, there's a few different explanations why there'd be a problem for electricity. One of the main explanations, according to Chazon Ish, is that closing a circuit might be a prohibition of the melacha of bona, of building, or a problem of mitakin mana, a problem of finishing a kli, finishing some type of an utensil, that by closing a circuit, you're effectively making something operable, right? If I turn on a fan, for instance, so before, when the circuit was open and it wasn't working, the fan was inoperable. Now that the circuit is closed, now the fan is operable. And so effectively you have created, so to speak, the fan, the operable fan. That's kind of the argument the Chazon Ish makes. And the way that the argument that the poskim since the Chazon Ish have argued is that according to the Chazon Ish, this problem of creating a circuit or closing a circuit, being an issue of bona or makive patish, of creating a new utensil, that's only going to be true if you're creating or closing a circuit. If all you're doing, though, is just adding more juice to the circuit, all you're doing is just adding more current to the circuit, so the argument is that, in fact, you're not actually creating a new object, right? The fan, was always able to work. The motor in the elevator was working regardless of whether you were there or not. It was always moving. All you're doing is you're just giving it more juice, more power, more current. And the additional current is not creating a new object, right? That is part of the regular use of the object, right? Any good electrical object is capable of having varying levels of current. And that's just part of the regular use. If it's a little bit of current, a lot more current, that's just going to depend on the setting of the particular appliance. And so, according to the Chazon Ish, there should be no problem of raising additional current. Likewise, another argument people raise sometimes for why there might be a problem for electricity is the problem of molid, that you are effectively creating something new that wasn't there before. And so with regard to molid as well, the argument goes that there's no problem of molid if all you're doing is adding to something already present. If, for instance, the classic case of molid is that if a garment has smell, you add smell to a garment, that's the classic case of molid. You cannot add smell, you cannot perfume a garment on Shabbos. However, if a garment already has a certain smell in it, all you're doing is just adding more smell or a different smell to the object, there is no problem of molid. And so the argument is that, in effect, for most poskim, at the end of the day, when all you're doing is just adding current to an existing circuit, there is no problem of electricity on Shabbos, there's no problem. And proof to that, Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach makes the following comment. In our community, there are many people who have hearing aids. And for a hearing aid to work, right, what happens every time you talk to a person who has a hearing aid, right, so every word that, every, sound that is emitted, the hearing aid, in effect, whenever it hears like a particular sound, the electric current goes up every time that happens. And yet no posik ever said don't talk to someone on Shabbos with a hearing aid, right? That's never something you've ever heard. And clearly it's kind of proof to the fact that we are in general not prohibiting any action, that all it's doing is just raising the current and not creating a new current. And so, sorry, finish the point. And therefore an elevator, which is an automatic elevator, which would be moving up and down regardless of whether you're present or not, right? Regardless of whether a person moves into the elevator or not, it's going to go up and down. So the current is already, the circuit's already going to be closed. The current's going to be moving regardless of whether or not you are present. All you are doing by your additional weight is just adding more current, and therefore you are not violating any prohibition on Shabbos. That's the main argument people make in response to the Minchat Yitzchak's point. Mike, I see you want to make a comment. Okay, so let me get there right now. Yeah, actually, one of the argument is potentially it's just Grumma. Yeah, that would be true. It's just Grumma. Actually, it's Redor Source 7, which exactly deals with that point. I'll get there right in a sec right now. So with regard to the power plant argument, which is really not that strong an argument for the following reason, Shmir Shavas Gehachata quotes from Shlomo Zalman Auerbach. He says, "Ve'ein lachush shema b'kinsato toch hamalit hu gorim lahavir yoter delek b'tachanat hakoach." Do not be worried that by entering the elevator, what you're doing is you're causing or raising a current, which is therefore forcing power generator to burn more fuel. Because why is not a problem? Because two reasons. A, kevunch enu ala grumma, it's only causative action in halacha in general when it comes to the whole Shabbos. If something is called grumma, it's like causative, it's only like a consequence of your actions, it's not something you're directly doing, then it is in general not prohibited, or it's prohibited on a much lower scale. And therefore, you know, your action is very indirectly leading to more energy being consumed at the power plant, right? It's very far off. But really the main reason for why you don't be concerned about the power plant, he kind of mentioned at the end, and this is true, you can really look this up scientifically. At the end of the day, your additional electrical current that you're causing, you know, when you enter an elevator in Manhattan, is going to cause so little a difference in electrical current that it's really imperceptible change. At the power plant, right? It's going to make almost no difference relative to the amount of energy that other things in the city require. The difference is going to be so negligible that it really will not actually affect the system. In effect, I actually saw someone writing about this, and he mentioned like, the fact that your energy consumptions actually might be higher when you enter a building, enter your house, and you force, because of the body heat that you enter into the house, and you force, you know, the fridge to work a little bit harder to retain the cold in the fridge, that added energy might be more than the energy that you require when you enter an elevator. And so, you know, it's really it's very minimal. It's really tiny. And the power plant argument is it's really not a very valid argument. It doesn't actually make any difference for the power plant. That's really the truth about the power plant. Even in Israel, it really doesn't make a big difference when one particular person enters an elevator. Yes, it's. I mean, I think you're right. And most of these books and Tshuvos are written in the 60s and 70s and the 80s. So I'll make two comments when it comes to elevators, and we'll talk about this as we go forward. First is that the truth is most elevators are old. That's just the truth. And the system that they run with tend to be built around the same time, or at the very least, the technology has not really changed for most buildings' elevators. So it hasn't really changed. Even for those it has changed. If anything, for some of them, and we'll talk about this a bit later, but for most elevators, most technology, the way that technology has actually kind of developed over the years, is that actually very few circuits are really being closed or created at any point. Actually, the way that most the way that technology works nowadays is that for most systems, the circuits are actually always closed; they're always operating, except that all that's happening is you're just raising the current at any given moment. So it's actually become a lot more efficient. They found it to be a lot more efficient for it to actually always be on, right? And imagine that your elevator is always working, so to speak, and all that's changing is just you're raising the current at some point for it to actually start moving. But in fact, the current is always closed, and it would really almost definitely be permissible in that, according to that basis, for, you know, according to these arguments. So really, in terms of like the technological changes, it's only gotten better in this regard, not worse. And the same thing is really true about the power plant. Yeah. Okay. Any other questions so far about that? Okay. So to explain the next part, I know it's already 7:38, but to explain the next part, it's really worth it for me just to show you a brief video about how elevators work. This is not a class on elevators. It's not a physics class, I promise. But it really is important for you guys to get a general sense of how elevators work so I can go on and explain the next point. So I'm going to show you a brief video. I know the quality is not amazing, but it is the best video I found for this purpose. Can you guys see the video? No, I don't think you guys can see the video. So let me change the screen here. One second. I just need to change what screen I'm sharing. Okay. There you go. Okay, it's a very brief video, and I just want to show you the basic operation of how an elevator works. I'll summarize that at the end. Okay, I hope the main takeaway from that video that I want to kind of make is that most elevators work based on a certain pulley system. There is the motor, obviously, which pulls up and down the elevator by ropes. Most elevators that you're ever going to go in are always roped elevators. But on the other side of the pulley is what's called a counterweight. And here I showed you a diagram of it. And the counterweight changes based on the model of the elevator, which makes the situation of how to design elevator, how to actually evaluate an elevator on Shabbos a lot more complicated. But in effect, the counterweight is meant to, for the most elevators to be about 40% of the capacity of the elevator. So for what the point of that is that the motor actually has a much easier job of turning the wheel and lifting the elevator up. Because in effect, if you enter the elevator and let's say, you know, three people enter the elevator, and at most you could have, you know, let's say four people enter the elevator and 10 is the max number. So you actually have almost the exact same weight as a counterweight. And so in effect, all the motor has to do is give it a slight nudge because it's kind of like a seesaw where you have two of equal weights on both sides. And all you have to do is give it a slight nudge to push it over to the one side. And so what the counterweight does is it really changes the total system such that it really becomes a seesaw and the motor has to do less work. Why is this relevant? Because of the following. Because in the 1970s, there was a certain professor, Rav Levi Yitzchak Halperin, who was the director of an institute of science and halacha. And he studied elevators and how they worked for like 15 years. He really went into it. He studied. He went to like all the different, you know, went to Clearinghouse and Otis and all these different types of elevator companies. And he studied them for 16 years, all to come up with a realization of how elevators work. And he made the following realization. He said, at the end of the day, based on everything we've seen so far, going up an automatic elevator is not going to be an issue. But, he argued, going down an elevator is actually going to create a problem. And he argued, why is that going down an elevator more of an issue than going up? Because he said, in fact, there are two potential problems. And the problems are as follows. So you can read it. You can read it. He actually has an English section of the, he has a very long book, covers all the issues of elevators, all the halachic parameters. And he covers, he has a small section in English, and I quoted from two of them. And he says that there are two problems which are happen when you're going down an elevator. The first is the following, source 8. If the passenger is responsible for the descent, he's responsible also for illuminating the various lamps, connecting the door motors and brakes and numerous other electrical circuits which are activated during the descent. In other words, when you are going up, right, your weight is actually pushing the elevator down, right? You are actually your contribution to the elevator system is actually going against your overall goal. You want to be going up, and you are not contributing. You're actually going against the system. And so that's not going to be a problem. But if you are going down the elevator, so then at that point, your weight is actually contributing towards the overall goal of where you want to get to. I want to descend, and my weight is helping the elevator by providing some of that force, some of that weight towards that overall end of going down. And so I am in effect contributing, I'm not the only contributing force, but I am helping going down the elevator. And so because my weight is contributing, therefore I am responsible for anything the elevator does. So I am responsible for the brakes, I'm responsible for the lights that turn on, and any electric circuits which close and open during the operation of an elevator, which are many, all of those I am responsible for because my weight is contributing to the descent of the elevator. That's problem one. Problem two, which is a related problem, is that sometimes in some elevators, when the car is descending, here I'm reading source number 9, when the car is descending with a heavy passenger load, it may speed up to a point where the counterforce developed in the motor is greater than the force of the electric power station. In other words, because your weight is, you know, because you have a lot of people in the elevator, the force of the weight of all those passengers means that the elevator moves too fast. And so what happens when the elevator starts moving too fast? When this condition occurs, the motor, rather than aiding the descent, is actually used to brake the car, thus preventing dangerous overspeed. When that happens, when the speed of the motor increases to a value above that for which it was designed, it automatically becomes a generator. Instead of consuming electrical energy, it generates power, which is then fed into the electric company lines to be used by consumers in the immediate vicinity. So in other words, in fact, you can sometimes see this in very tall office buildings. When the elevator goes down, because the elevator is moving, you know, so fast, the motor has to slow it down. And through that slowing down process, the motor actually generates energy. It's kind of similar to like a hybrid car, where if you step on the brakes, right, energy is given back to the car, back to the battery as you step on the brakes. And so where does the energy go? So often in the often in these tall buildings, when the energy is created, the energy is then used to power, you know, certain lights of the elevator. The energy is used to power, you know, certain accompanying features of the elevator. And you actually can see it if you go. It's like a really tall office building. You know, when everyone's coming down, you know, like around rush hour, everyone's leaving the building. You can actually see that the lights for the elevator, you know, stating which floor you're on, actually tend to flicker brighter than they do otherwise, because that extra energy is actually being used to power those lights. And so the argument he's making is that your weight, in effect, is contributing both to the descent and any accompanying actions, which include multiple electric circuits and even the lights which may turn on due to those electric circuits. And proved, so that's his main argument. How does he prove? Any questions so far to his argument, to Rev Halpern's argument? So he wants to. I'm not going to go through the details because he has a whole book on it, and I can show you the book. It's a very long book. It's a great book if you want to read through it. But he wants to make the proof that your weight matters. And so he proves that. How do I know that weight actually is a halakhically significant factor? So he says the following. He proves from following Rambam when it comes to kilayim. Kilayim refers to the mixing of various breeds, and one of the prohibitions attached to kilayim is that there is a prohibition for me to have a wagon being driven by two different animals. So I can't have a kosher animal to eat, and a non-kosher animal drive a wagon at the same time. Right, having them harnessed together is a prohibition of kilayim. And he says, as Rambam passes as follows in source number 10. If you're sitting on a wagon and you're not actually directing the wagon, you're not pulling any reins, you're not turning the wagon anyway, all you're doing is sitting on the wagon. Nonetheless, if the wagon is being pulled by two animals who are forbidden from pulling together because of prohibition of kilayim, then you have violated the prohibition of kilayim. Even though you are not driving the wagon, you are doing nothing directly to lead the animals anywhere, because you are sitting on the wagon, your weight is contributing towards the wagon moving, and therefore you are liable for Kilayim. And based on this, Rav Halperin makes the following analogy. He says, so too on an elevator, when you are standing in the elevator, your weight is contributing towards the descent of the elevator, and therefore you are responsible for anything that happens while the elevator is descending. That's Rav Halperin's argument. And therefore, for an automatic elevator, not just an, you know, for even an automatic elevator, you might have a problem for descending. Rising, going up an elevator, ascending wouldn't be as big an issue, but descending would potentially be an issue. Yeah. In theory, and yes, in theory, it's true that you're right that in such a scenario, I don't want to go through the. It gets very complicated talking about the different scenarios of how weight it is. So I didn't want to go through this, but you're right in that such in that scenario as you describe it, you would actually be generating electricity, but your weight is actually not contributing towards the generation of electricity. Your weight, if anything, is detracting, because if you had not been there. Right, so the way that the most people read the Rambam is that your sitting on it is causing the animals to move. If you didn't sit on it, the animals wouldn't move. It's not that they would be moving, you know, with an empty wagon, empty carriage. Your weight is what's causing the animals to move forward. That's the way that they read the. That's the way the Rambam is actually understood. In which case, if your weight's actually not contributing towards the generation of electricity, just because it's present, that wouldn't make you liable. But you're right, you could disagree, read it differently, which would make it a little bit more complicated. Absolutely. Regardless, though, when it comes back to Rav Halperin's argument, it's actually a very strong argument. It's an argument that he develops his whole book on it. He really talks about a lot about it. And it's like a very prevailing argument. Nonetheless, though, not everyone agrees with him. Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach actually has a very, very long footnote in Shmir Shas Kechata, probably the longest one in the book, where he tries to dispel the argument and disagree with it. And I'm not going to go through, because we're running out of time, all the various arguments he makes. But at the end of the day, the main argument he makes is that your weight is actually not really doing anything. Because even if it's contributing slightly towards moving the elevator, at the end of the day, the same result occurred regardless of whether you're present or not. And if the same result occurs regardless of your presence, then you are not liable for doing it. And he gives an example. He says, he quotes from the following case. What happens if I, and on Shabbos, it is forbidden for me to write, right? I cannot write anything down. What happens, though, if I already have written text, right? I already signed my name or something, and all I do on Shabbos is I retrace, you know, exactly retrace right on top of the already existing writing, right? So I haven't actually, I've done the same action, but the result is nothing's changed, right? The same writing was already there. The ink was still there. And so in that scenario, you actually are not chayav. You're not actually liable for writing on Shabbos. And so, and therefore he says the same thing is true here as well. If all I do with my weight, it doesn't actually change the result. The elevator is going to descend regardless of whether I was there or not. Then I'm actually not contributing. I am not liable for changing the elevator. I'm not going to be liable for my presence. That's his main argument. And he gives a bunch of different examples to this point. He makes a few other arguments to that same idea, and I'm going to kind of skip them for now. But at the end of the day, it becomes this really, really big argument between the two people, between Rav Halperin and between Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach. Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach is not the only one. There's also a professor from Tzomet, Zev Lev, who wrote a very long Twomin article about this, and he also disagreed. He disagreed with some of the proofs, and it's a very, very long discussion, and I'm happy to talk about it separately, but we're running out a little bit of time, so I want to kind of skip some of those main arguments back and forth and kind of get to the end result. What happens at the end of the day? What should you do when it comes to an automatic elevator? And so what emerges is that for all of these postgame, for both, even for Halperin, ascending an elevator really should not be an issue. Descending an elevator, that's going to be a potential issue. And Roshlomo Zalman thinks it's mutter, but he does conclude at the end, this is the end of source 11, he says, he says, we should not rebuke someone who, we should not protest someone who does descend an elevator on Shabbos, which the language sounds like he's saying it's fundamentally it's permissible, but it's not really recommended. He doesn't believe Rav Halperin's correct, but he certainly is choshesh enough, he's concerned enough about Rav Halperin's arguments to say that ideally it really should not be descending an elevator. And for that reason, you can also see not everyone, at the end of the day, it's you can see the same arguments from Malkut Yosef, Rav Yitzchak Yosef, Rav Adi Yosef's son. He says as follows: Hadavar pashut she'asur l'shtemesh b'malit regila b'shabbat, is prohibited to use a regular elevator on Shabbos. Ach b'malit automatit, when it comes to an automatic elevator, she'olev yoredet lo magag yad, it means techet nila liad kol komayit, it stops every floor automatically. Yesh mikilim, some permitted. Yesh machmirim, some prohibited. U'b'malkom she'efshar nachon lechmir, if you can, then you should ideally be stringent. In a situation of need, then it is permitted to rely on those who are permit using the elevator. However, all you have to be concerned about is you should just be careful not to enter the elevator as it's closing, because you're going to hit the doors or hit the sensor, and it's going to cause the door to open again, and that's going to be opening a new circuit. So just make sure you don't, run a problem of entering the doors. But in theory, it is permitted. Ideally not, but it is permitted. And so that becomes kind of the consensus of the postgame, that descending an elevator in theory is not great, but you can do it in times of need. What about ascending an elevator? Right? Because all of this with regards to descending. And everything I suggested until now suggested that really ascending an elevator, really there should be no problem with ascending an automatic elevator. So the truth is, that most post-game really do think there is no issue. There were some who did think there was an issue. That was kind of the beginning of this year. And I think it's for that reason that for the most part, the minhag for most people is that assuming you don't live in Manhattan, you live, in the suburbs or somewhere, you really don't take an elevator, even ascending. That's really the typical minhag for most people, most able-bodied people, even going up an elevator. An automatic elevator. But as I said, it's really, there's not so much basis for it. You really could take an ascending elevator as well. It's certainly better than taking a descending elevator. And so if we're talking at the end of the day, tachlis, at the end of the day, what to do, I would tell you that if you're in ascending elevator, if you're talking about an elevator, it's an automatic elevator, it certainly is much preferable to not descend on the elevator, it's an automatic elevator. But if it's an automatic elevator that's ascending, you can use it. You probably shouldn't if you can walk, but obviously we'll talk about this next week a lot more in detail. If you live, on a high floor, and this is going to happen every day of Shabbos, every single week, it's a different discussion to have, and we'll talk about that next week. But this is kind of like the general overlay of how an automatic elevator, up or down, the different considerations. At the end of the day, when it comes to most elevators, so I think in America, it really depends on the place. I actually don't know how Lincoln Square's elevator works on Shabbos. I kind of want to do research on it. I'm not sure. But when it comes to in Israel, there tends to be two different places that give hechsherim for elevators on Shabbos. And they typically are aware of these potential issues. Even descending, in theory, would be better. They kind of try avoiding these issues by creating, avoiding all the waiting issues. But nonetheless, at the end of the day, this psak kind of still holds, and really you should be careful descending unless you can't, unless you have good reason not to, and ascending would be less of an issue. Same kind of conclusion. Well, I'll talk more tachlis next week, really, when it comes down to it, because I think next week we're going to talk about it really, what to do in general, but that's kind of the general overlay. Any questions or comments so far? Because I want to talk about one last thing before I kind of summarize. Okay, great. So there's one last thing I want to talk about that's related to this, and that's regard to escalators. I know we only have 2 minutes, but I do want to show a very quick video just to show how escalators work, because there is a lot of discussion, and it's not so common in Manhattan, but it is still worth just exploring for a second. So let me show you the video of escalators. Oh, I have to stop my screen again. All right, I'm gonna stop it here, and I'll stop my screen. The main takeaway, I mean, I'm personally someone who likes to know how things work, but even if you don't, if this is too confusing or too much detail, the main takeaway for escalators is that for most escalators, they tend to just run on a circuit. They just keep going on a circle, and your weight when you come on escalator has very negligible effect. Even in we're talking about circuitry in terms of like the added electricity being used. It's incredibly negligible. It's really very small because the overall weight of the stairs and the escalators overall is just much larger, that your weight actually contributes almost nothing. So at the end of the day, when it comes to an escalator, if you think about all the issues we've raised so far, there really would be no problem of going on an escalator. And in fact, that's sort of Halpern's conclusion. It's also Shmuel Shabosky-Hotza's conclusion. It's the last source on the source sheet I had before. That actually, there's no problem going on an escalator with the following exception. There are some escalators, and I think in Israel they're more popular, which work more efficiently, where they actually are off until someone approaches the escalator, right? The fact that you approach it, that some type of sensor notices your presence, the escalator will start moving or it'll start moving faster based on your presence. And so if that happens, then the escalator will be just as problematic because the sensor, you're triggering a sensor. But assuming there's no sensor being triggered, and all you're doing is just stepping on a moving escalator, or same thing with like a walkway that moves, it doesn't matter if it's vertical or horizontal, then really there should be no issue of going on escalator. And so if you're any cities, I think like Hong Kong, the city that has a lot of escalators, then through there really shouldn't be no problem of escalators. I imagine there are a number of people, a number of poskim who do prohibit it. They see it similar to the elevator problem. But as been well pointed out by Rav Halperin and others, if you really know how the technology of escalators work, you realize it's really not an issue. It's not the same thing as an elevator. It actually works much better than an elevator. There really is no issue. Maybe it's not Shabbistic according to your definition of Shabbistic, but as we kind of described, in theory, there really should be no problem with escalators. And so I guess if I were to summarize, what we've seen so far today is discussing the topic of an elevator in terms of just the way that an elevator works, not in terms of pressing any buttons. That we'll cover next week. Then in terms of the general issue of going on an elevator itself, the automatic nature of an elevator, all the issues are as follows. There may be an issue potentially of uvdin d'chol. It looks like weekday activity. It looks like riding a train, which we saw was prohibited or potentially prohibited in the past week. We saw that there may be an issue also of generating or requiring more electric current, that your weight is causing the elevator to do more work, more energy, more juice, and that is prohibited. We saw the kind of the counter response by Rav Hinkin, Rav Unterman, Rav Moshe Feinstein, and others, all of which permit riding an automatic elevator. They're not concerned about Ovs in the hall. An automatic elevator is very different from a Shabbos, from a regular weekday elevator. They're not concerned about the generating additional electricity. That's really not a concern for the most part, for most poskim, and therefore, in theory, you would be allowed to ascend an elevator. We saw that descending an elevator may be more of a problem based on the fact that your weight is contributing perhaps to the descent of the elevator. There's a large debate about that between Shlomo Zalman and Rav Halperin. There's a large debate about this, about descending an elevator. At the end of the day, we saw that for the most part, ascending an automatic elevator is probably going to be permitted without really any issues. Descending the elevator is going to be more problematic, potentially. And so, as of Malkus Yosef, and I think this is the standard psak, that if you can walk down the stairs, you probably should. When it comes to descending, when it comes to if you can't, then Tzorach Gadol, then you really should, then you probably could take the elevator without really any considerations, any problems. There really will be no issue. And so I'm going to end the topic right here, right now. We're going to re-summarize some of these main conclusions next week as we talk about this a little more practically in terms of elevators, in terms of asking a non-Jew to push the buttons for you, right? All of those issues which, you know, come up more practically in Manhattan elevators. You know, I don't think so many, there aren't so many automatic elevators in Manhattan. There are a lot more of, you know, elevators which might be pushed by a doorman or the like. So all of those issues we're going to cover next week. I hope to see you guys all back then. In the meantime, if you have any questions, feel free to ask. Otherwise, I'll see you all again next week. Not right now. At some point, I'm,